Heavenly Father, thank you this morning once again for the privilege to be able to gather in your presence with other believers, to be able to have the freedom, God, and the liberty just to be able to worship you without fear. And so, God, as we come now and turn, look into your word and what I think is an important passage about not having fear of things we face in this world or plans that may not be plotted out properly, or other kinds of things that sometimes affect us in living in just a crazy fallen world. Father, I pray for that lost person this morning who may be here or watching this, that God, what they would hear this morning is that God loved them so much that he sent his son to die for them so that they might have everlasting life. And as we talk about fears and being able to have the ability to overcome those fears through the power and the promises of God, I pray that you would settle that in their hearts. And as we get to the end of our service today, they would be ready to accept Christ as their Savior. Father, for the rest of us, I pray help us this morning. Maybe this is one of those messages that is meant to kind of recharge us, refuel us, to help us to keep motivated, to stay focused on you and what we have in you we have nowhere else. That's the power and the strength to live in this world and face whatever things may come. We can do that without fear. Now, God, bless us as we now talk about this passage, as we read this passage, and pray that what we do this morning, again, would bring honor and glory to your name. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Our focal verse will be verse 6. We're going to start in verse 1 and walk down to verse 6. Now, this is an important passage to kind of draw you back to what's going on. We're at the fifth book of the Pentateuch. This is Moses now giving us really what would be the third of his sermons that are contained in the book of Deuteronomy. If you ever sort of take a 30,000 viewpoint of that book, you know that basically there are three sermons. And I want you to picture this. The nation has been traveling for 40 years, wandering through the wilderness with the hope and the promise that they would enter into God's chosen land for them. So they're on the other side of the Jordan, and God is now getting ready to bring them into the land. And so to do that, there needed to be some things that needed to happen. Think of Deuteronomy as really taking sort of what I like to think the concrete rules of our faith and putting the flesh of who God is in us in those rules. In other words, the rules that God sets out in Scripture, and I even hesitate to call them rules, the standards, the expectations, what we would think of in the Old Testament, the law, is much more than just words written on a page and are these things that we need to follow. They are actually manifested through the work that God does in our lives. And it's much more than just a list of do's and don'ts. And the nation needed to know that before they began that process of crossing the Jordan River. Now, we also know that Moses will not be allowed to do that with them because of some interruptions in his walk earlier on, not to get into all of that history. But he also is going to anoint Joshua here. And Joshua will pick up and carry them into the promised land. It's a remarkable passage because it culminates in something that I think is important for us today. And if you've noticed over the last few weeks, we've been talking about different aspects of the nature of God. Last week we talked about him being the eternal rock. We talked before about patience and the things that God does, the work of God. We've been sort of traveling through Scripture looking at that, whether you realize it or not, that's kind of the intent. And so we come this morning with one that is logical, and that is being able to deal with our fears. Now, I'm not doing this on Halloween because it's Halloween. You realize that, okay? When I worked this out and prayed about this, this was weeks ago, and the fact that tomorrow's Halloween was as far away from my mind as anything. But it does work a little bit. Because what we find during this season is all of the fears of the evilness of this world sort of being conjured up and put on sort of the forefront. It kind of is. And while you and I as adults don't have the same fears that we would have had when we were children, we have what I think are much more scary fears now. Am I going to have a job this week? Am I going to be able to pay my bills next month? Is my car going to make it through the rest of this week? Is that doctor's appointment going to go the way that it needs to go? Is my kids going to grow up to be okay? Or have I messed them up so badly that now they're going to grow up to be horrible people? I mean, there are real fears that as we become adults that can begin to control you. And they can consume you. And just like a child, we know that some of those fears are not realistic. As an adult, we understand all of those fears to us right now are realistic. But what we have is a Heavenly Father that has promised to go before us, to tell us to be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Why? Because of His power and His presence and His knowledge and all of the other aspects that we can think about as far as God is concerned. So keep those things in mind as we travel through these six verses. And then I'm going to come back and we're going to look at three reasons that we can extract from this passage of why we don't have to be afraid today, okay? As adults facing really scary fear. So I'm going to start reading in verse 1. I'm reading out of New Living Translation today, I think. Yes, I am. And so we're going to go verse 1 down to verse 6. Make a little bit of comment as we travel through this, but try to keep that to a minimum because verse 6 is really our focal verse. We start in verse 1. When Moses had finished giving these instructions to all of the people of Israel, he said, I am now 120 years old. Let that sink in, okay? And I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has told me you will not cross the Jordan River. And that's a fact. Why is that? Because he chose not to follow God at a certain moment. And so as a consequence of that, God's love didn't go, but God's blessing for him to be able to be that leader to carry them into the promised land was taken from him for that. And then he goes on in verse 3. But the Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. Think about that vision. What Moses is telling them is, you're not going alone. You're not going as the first. God is going ahead of you. Now let that also sort of sit there for a moment. Whatever you're facing, whatever fears are on the horizon, whatever decisions that are now beginning to cause fear in your life that you know you have to make, just remember that statement, God is going before you. And he's preparing the way. He's taking care of those things. And he goes on in the next part of verse 3, he will destroy the nations living there, and you will take possession of the land. Joshua will lead you across the river just as the Lord promised. That's all of the things that are going to happen. And listen to me, God did exactly that. Exactly the way he promises here is the way that it is fulfilled. He goes on, verse 4, the Lord will destroy the nations living in the land just as he destroyed Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites. This is sort of bringing up the past. Remember what God has done for you. Look what he's done leading you to this point. What makes you think that he's not capable or willing to take care of whatever's in the future for you? I mean, if he's going ahead of us, then we also have to look back at what he has done for us. And every single one of us, whether you realize it or not, live in a nation that is a testimony of God's greatness and his blessing and his provision. I mentioned in my prayer this morning, we have the luxury in this country that in some places in this world this morning, I would be arrested for saying the things that I'm saying. We have great liberty and freedom in this country. Don't take that for granted. God's blessing and provision and protection we are benefiting from every single day because of the nature of what we have in this country as believers, being able to live our faith freely. So he's reminding them of something in their past to help them to see as they move forward that God is a God of prediction. You can predict a lot of times what God is going to do because of his nature and what he says in scripture. So in other words, if he's done this before, he's going to do it again. You can hang your hat on that. You can rest assured. Same thing in your life. God has done work in your life, no question. And so you remember those things now as a standard and a source of reminder of what you know he will do moving forward. Now the only caveat is this. God is predictable to some degree, but let's be careful that we don't pretend to always know how God is going to carry out his work. It's not always the way we want it. It's not always the way that makes us feel comfortable, but he does his work. And part of the adjustment, and listen, the nation is right there. I mean, when they hear God's going to destroy everybody in front of you, you're going to be able to walk in and take care of this. That's not exactly the way it happened. And so while God does fulfill that, he does it according to his will, not ours. And the nation had to learn that. And it does create havoc for the nation at times because they're drawing on things and looking at things and trying to measure against what they want and not what they're seeing God do. Well, he goes on at the latter part there, leading into verse 5 and then to 6. The Lord will hand over to you the people who live there, and you must deal with them as I have commanded you. Again, God sort of clearing the way for them now to enter into this promised land. And much of the problems that they face today in Israel and the Middle East come from this moment in time where the nation doesn't deal with it the way that they need to. Not getting into a lot of detail there, but it is a great part of history that we now are sort of suffering the consequences because the nation didn't follow the commands the way God gave them to. Then verse 6, our focal verse. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. He's saying this to the nation. I love this next statement. Do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. Man, isn't that a great thought? God's doing this one himself. He's not relying on the angels or something else. He is going to do this one personally. And I think we can take that, absorb that into our lives, and God is working personally ahead of us. And then he goes on in the latter part of verse 6. He will never fail you nor abandon you. Now, we're not going to go into this, but essentially, a little bit later in verse 8, Moses will say the same types of things to Joshua. Now, it's important that we see the relevance of that in lieu of what we're going to experience in a few minutes with recognizing a man that's been called into the role as a deacon in our church. Okay? Listen, they can't lead people where they're not willing to go themselves. You can get a command and tell people you need to be more spiritual, but as a leader, if you're not doing that, then you can't expect that from the people that you lead. That's something that we find is a reason why God is giving the same types of commands to Joshua. He needs to lead by example, in other words. Now just put that one aside and we'll sort of bring that back up as we spend some time talking in a few minutes about Ryan and his ordination. So I want to come back and park on this for a moment, verse 6, where he makes the statement about being strong and courageous. Don't be afraid, don't panic, for the Lord will go before you personally and he will never leave, fail you nor abandon you. So three reasons here that we can walk through life without succumbing to the fear. Now, know how I say that. We're always going to have fears, but it's what we do with those fears and what those fears do to us, okay? We can't pretend that we're not going to ever be afraid because there are times that we will be, but it's how that fear controls us and what it does to us. That's what we want to stay focused on. Number one is this. We don't have to be afraid or we can deal with fears because God is sovereign. Now, what do we mean by that? We say this a lot, but essentially this means that all power and strength is in God's hands. There is not a single thing in this world or force, including the work of Satan or the culture in this world, that is more powerful than God. And so, again, we don't have to fear things because we are sitting next to the all-powerful when it comes to things in our life. He is in the driver's seat, in other words, and he is sovereign. And the sovereignty that we believe he has is talked about throughout Scripture, even before this moment in time where we find Moses writing this in Deuteronomy. We find examples of God's sovereignty as far back as the creation and as far all the way into the promises that we find in the book of Revelation. God's sovereignty is always on display. And if we think that's not that important, then you also need to understand the very foundation of our faith is built on the idea that God can deliver on the promises that he said that he can deliver on. Our eternal life, our protection, the fact that he is guarding us, the fact that he goes personally ahead of us and is able to take care of the things that now cause struggle in our life. Again, maybe not always the way we want him to, but he does it in the way that he chooses to, and we understand that, and we learn to accept that. He is sovereign. And so above the other two things we're going to talk about, this one is principal. Because if we don't understand the fact that God is sovereign and don't believe that and let that now become a cornerstone in our faith, then what we're now beginning to do is allow a hole sort of to build in our foundation. And then eventually the rest of these things that we talk about and other things that we could add to it now begin to allow that foundation to erode away. Perhaps that's what's happening in certain churches today and what is happening in certain believers' lives is their foundation is eroding because they're failing to recognize exactly who God is and what he wants to be and what he's capable of. Now, what proof do we have that God is sovereign? Well, we have the scriptures, okay? And I'm one who stands here and believes that what is written in these scriptures, this moment, for example, happened exactly the way that it says. I believe, in other words, God's word, his scripture, both Old Testament and New Testament, is divinely inspired, and it speaks truth that has been official for us. It's a message that God gives us of total truth. There are no errors or mistakes. This is not something that was conjured up by men in order to elicit some type of fake faith. I believe that it is exactly what it says it is. And furthermore, the evidence is not just do we understand that his word is divine. And this is my second point you'll see on the screen. We don't have to fear because God is sovereign, but also because he is here. And that's the second body of evidence. As believers, we see that, we understand that. Sometimes we close our eyes and try to ignore it because of rebellion or sin in our life. But it doesn't change the fact that God is present here. And so as we think about his sovereignty and all of who he is and what he's capable of doing, we see that on display all the time. Again, it's not always in the way that we think God ought to work and act, but he's on display. His handiwork is at work. He is doing the things that he chooses to do, but we know his presence because we can see his presence. We can feel it. And in those dark places where fear begins to invade your life and control you, and now you begin to react on that fear instead of the confidence of who God is, then we know his presence is there. And that's what we grab on to. We don't understand it always, but we grab on to the knowledge of knowing his presence is here. And as we get into that place where we push away all of the things in the world that try to tell us otherwise and just get with him alone, then we see and feel that presence. I mean, sometimes the most struggling of parts of my life, those are the moments when I sense God's presence. And again, it's not something I can describe. It's not something that I can look and define for you. It's something that I know his presence because I felt his presence. And you probably have too. And if you're not a believer, then it's hard for you to be able to understand what that is. But you have experienced his presence probably without even realizing it. And now as you look back on it, you realize. Or maybe you do know. That was the presence of God when I saw my grandmother do that. Or when my grandfather said this to me, I could sense something different. As a believer, this is not, should be not, a rare occasion. We should understand God's presence and soak that presence in and enjoy that presence on a daily basis. But again, as I've said about the sovereignty, the fact that many of us as believers are on some type of spiritual diet, it seems, and we have chosen to sort of jump from one present experience with God to another and suffer valleys in between, that is not how God designed us to walk in our faith. We're to walk, I love this image, hand in hand with him as he walks us through our life, guiding us, helping us to not be afraid. I like to tell this story, and this helps to illustrate this. My children probably don't like this story, and the daughter that this involves is not here, so I have open license to probably tell more details. But when we were living in Charleston, there was one time a horrible lightning storm, and Bailey, my oldest daughter, probably was 3 or 4 at the time, very, very young. And I thought Bailey was not really a great athlete, to be honest with you. She's a musician, fabulous violin player, but athletics was always probably her struggle a little bit. I'm just being honest. She played soccer and did well and all that kind of stuff, but she was not going to be a track runner, okay? Well, I beg to differ. On this particular night, when the lightning hit right outside her window and illuminated her room, out of the dead of sleep, she is up, and the next thing I realize, before I hear the sound go away, she is laying on top of me. I mean, it's like she just disappeared and reappeared. And what's amazing to me is not just the fact that she ran, but in her moment of fear, and in a 3 or 4 year old mind, that lightning bolt, not being able to fully understand at that moment what had happened, her natural reaction was to run to me. Now, I'm going to tell you, as a dad, I like, well, that's what I do. I protect. But it terrifies me sometimes to think that my child looks to me. Because I'm going to tell you, if that lightning bolt came back, I did not have the power to protect her at that moment. But I could be present with her. Now listen, your Heavenly Father has the power to protect you. And my daughter's natural instinct was to run into my presence when she was scared. That is the same instinct that we should have as believers. When we're confused and don't understand, and maybe later we'll process it a little bit and see that maybe it wasn't something to be that scared of or have that much fear about, but at the moment when it hits, our natural reaction should be to run to Him. And the sad reality is we have too many people in and out of the church telling us not necessarily, no, you got to process this. You need to do these things. And yes, the Lord's with you, but we cheapen the idea that God is there to protect us. So God is sovereign. God is here. Number 3 is this, moving along, and I love this one. We don't have to be afraid or succumb to the fears because, as we've said, He's sovereign. He's here. He's present. And then this third one, we've already kind of dipped into it a little bit, but God is moving. That's another evidence. We know He's sovereign not only because we sense His presence and we see the body of His work in the Scriptures and in our own lives, but we also know He's here because we see Him working. We know God is moving. I chose the word moving there because sometimes we don't always identify the exact work God is doing, but we see Him moving. And I don't think God ever stays still, to be honest with you. I think God is always moving. And I love the image in the creation story where it says the Spirit of God is moving across the deep. That's an image for me, that God is moving across your life. He's moving through the avenues and the dark times and the times of goodness and things like that. But God is always moving. And just like us as believers, we're moving forward in our faith, following the Heavenly Father who is moving. Now, not just is He physically moving, but we can interpret this also to mean that He is at work. I know I like the word moving there, but it does go back to the point that God is doing things. He's not just moving to move. He's moving because He's putting things in place for you. And sometimes the realistic part of the fear, and I'm one of those that when those types of things come, my first question often is, why is this happening to me right now? I mean, why? It's been such a great week. Everything's going really well. Why is this happening right now? And that, I understand, is not the right question. The right question is, Lord, what are You going to do with this? How are You going to move in this one? It could be I've made a horrible mistake and You've got to fix this. I'm going to be dazzled by how You fix this one because I've messed up bad. Or Lord, I don't know how we overcome this one. I know you're sovereign, and I know you're capable, and I know you have a history of doing the impossible, but this one's huge. But we know in the midst of his presence and the fact that he's sovereign and that he is moving, he is always up to something and he's working. And even though we don't see it, doesn't change that. We have to believe that. That's where our faith steps in. And now we begin to sort of bridge that gap. You know how I define faith? Faith is sort of that unknown part from what we know and then what we see. This is the part that connects it is faith. It's almost like walking across the canyon. I don't see a bridge there, but I have faith that I can get from this side to that side. And there are all kinds of elements of faith in our walk with the Lord. And we learn to live with those. But when it comes to the fears, sometimes that's the part that we struggle with. We just cannot see how God can possibly connect these. I've seen stories in the life of this church. I can give you testimonies and things in my life where God has done what we thought was the impossible. And it becomes possible through him. Why is that? Because he's just who he is. It's not impossible for him. It's not even remarkable for him. It's a standard operating procedure for him. It's what he says he will do and has always said he would do. So as we think about this, and again, this is one of those things that I think for us as believers, there are a lot of fears that we face in life, a lot of uncertainties, a lot of mountains that become very scary for us, but it becomes part of our walk with the Lord. We have to. We know that God is always interested. I had someone one time tell me, well, you know, Brother Keith, I don't think that God is interested in the small things in your life. So the incidentals, he doesn't really care about those things or what you do with those things. He only cares about the big things. Man, I could not disagree more. God cares about everything. There is nothing incidental. If it's important to you, it's important to your Heavenly Father. And because of who he is, he wants to be a part of all of those decisions. And sometimes it's not maybe a big deal, but it's about having the discipline of including our Heavenly Father in the things that are small right now, but though they're small, they may be huge tomorrow. And this was the way God started it. So I don't think we can ever just say, well, these section of things God doesn't care about. I think he cares about everything. Now, I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know if you're a believer. I don't know if you're a believer who has walked away from the Lord. I don't know if you're a person who has never accepted Christ. But I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know how one walks through this crazy world without the assurance of God's protection and the fact that he tells us here, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will never fail you nor abandon you. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the blessing of this passage and what it means for us as believers and how we operate or should operate in our lives today. I pray, Father, for, as we said in the beginning, of that lost person who probably right now is facing all kinds of fears. Maybe the fear they're thinking about is the fear of living life without you. That would be because the Holy Spirit is convicting and working in their lives. So our prayer this morning is that they would come to that point of accepting Christ. We believe that a prayer is important for that. There's not a specific prayer that we're given, but it's more the content of the prayer. So I'm going to lead in a prayer. For those who may want to accept Christ, again, you can pray your own words, but it's the content, and it's important that we understand that God is listening. Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I'm in desperate need of forgiveness. And so this morning, I ask for Jesus to forgive me, and I know he can because of what he did on the cross. And I ask him into my life as both my Lord and my Savior. Now, if you've prayed a prayer like that, then we want to invite you, if you're here, to come and share that with me here in this time of invitation. I know we have a lot going on this morning, but nothing is more important than this right now. And Father, and then if you are a believer, then I want to ask you this question. Are you living with fear in your walk? Now, Heavenly Father, we know that there are all kinds of fears that now begin to grip us because we live in a fallen world. But Father, I pray for each and every believer here right now who may be just in a barrel with all kinds of fears that are controlling them, and they don't even see your presence anymore because they're just wrapped in the fear of what ifs. That is not the way you designed us to live our faith. And we have to let go of those and symbolically place them at your altar. Maybe some this morning need to come and just get on their knees on this altar and symbolically lay whatever those things are before you. Or maybe we know somebody who is struggling with the same thing this morning, and we feel led just to come and pray for them about that. Father, whatever decisions need to be made this morning, we give this to you. We know we're in a busy schedule this morning, but as I've said, this is the most important time of our service. It's our time to respond to you. So, Father, we do that. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of commitment?